This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Matt Armitage. We like to make a mention. I didn't know about this until Matt, you sent this to me.
Yeah, I sent this over to you.
Yeah, John Perry Barlow. He's a visionary and an internet pioneer. He's also a press freedom advocate, the Grateful Dead lyricist. He's sadly passed away at the age of 70. And he was named as the Guardian Open 20 Fighter for Internet Freedom in 2012 because of his work to establish the EFF, which is the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which defends online liberties. So it's a sad day to see someone like this, who's fighting internet, who's
Internet or the openness of the internet has suffered a few blows this year.
Net neutrality.
Sad to see him go.
Mm. Anyways, we always do on this first part of Geeks, we talk about an issue. And I came across this small article. So a few weeks ago, I talked on Enterprise Biz Bytes about this American insurance company called Arity. And they're looking at ways to charge you more when you use your phone while driving, because accidents happen far more often when someone is using the phone while driving. And hence, insurance companies are paying out a lot more. And they realize, hang on a minute, this is not fair. It's your mistake for using the phone. So we're going to charge you more by making you install an app and it will track your behavior. So if you're driving and you're using your phone, you're just going to be paying higher insurance costs.
And also because everybody wants to have an app from an insurance company that tracks them.
That tracks you. Because, you know, that's great.
The world has been screaming for that.
We've been talking about it. We want this for so long. And France recently came out and said that the authorities, they're going to be outright banning people who are using smartphones to text or call while driving. So much so that even if you stop at the side of the road where you're not obstructing traffic or just incoming, you know, flow of pedestrians and stuff, you still get a penalty for using your phone while you're in your car.
You have to actually move your car into a designated parking space. To use your phone. I mean, it's not that clear from the story whether this covers using apps like Waze or whatever when your phone is mounted. But certainly, yes, it does include having the phone in your hand.
Well, France does have crazy drivers.
Driving in France is definitely an experience. I've driven around the Arc de Triomphe and various other places, which is just...
I'm surprised you survived. I would never want to drive.
No, I mean, it's a roundabout with, I think it's 12 or 13 exits or something. So it really is, you just make a straight line for something and you just head over. So I can't imagine what happens there if somebody's like looking at WhatsApp while they're like going across something like
that. But I guess it's happening far too often that it's made the decision that you can't use your phone to call or text while you're in your car technically, because you will be fined €135. Now, I'm fine with the law stating that, you know, you can't text and drive, you can't call and drive. But the thing is, though, tech companies, they're building apps to help you while you're driving.
Yeah, and the phones are becoming more and more integrated into the operation of the car themselves. I mean, look at the Tesla, which doesn't have an instrument panel at all. It just has a giant smartphone. It has a tablet that controls pretty much everything
and
on the car. Yeah,
because even if you were to switch radio stations or lower down the temperature of your aircon, you have to physically look at the screen because there's no knobs. We're removing
buttons
and
yeah,
knobs.
Yeah, exactly.
That
yeah.
mental memory yeah. of like, you know, oh, the aircon is here, the radio is there. It's gone. It's moving away. So why are they, you know, forcing us to, you can't look at your screens because, you know, you're going to be involved in an accident and we're going to fine you. But yet, cars today are removing the elements that actually help us to focus on the road. We have to look at the dashboard to lower the, you know, aircon. Got to look at the dashboard again to change radio stations. I can't have that mental memory.
Absolutely. It does seem that people are pushing in different directions on this. And it does seem a little bit strange that... I mean, it's not strange that France has decided to ban people from texting, because obviously that's a little bit silly. But we're not yet at the point where we have the the complete voice control.
Yeah.
And also, you have to bear in mind, even if you are on complete voice control, sometimes I've got Waze telling me, you know, you've got to turn left here or whatever, but it lags because there's a 4G connection lag. And, you know, it tells you, yeah, exactly, it tells you to turn and you've already gone like 300 meters past the exit.
That's happened
so,
to me.
Yeah, so the systems are not perfect. So I'm not sure... Mm. I'm not sure that this legislation actually really helps that much. And also the idea that you can't just pull over to the side of the road. Okay, obviously, if you're on a highway and you pull over and you're blocking a lane, I understand, yeah. But there's already laws for obstructing traffic, so somebody can get you for that. And I imagine what's not covered under the law is you dump your car by the side of the road, get out of the car and make the call. Then it would be fine, but it's still exactly the same situation. Your car's making the same obstruction.
It's just obstruction of traffic, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd...
It's France.
You know, without having read through the act in its entirety.
Yeah, I think we're just reading a
story based on it. So we haven't seen all of the details and the little tweaks and stuff, but it does seem a little bit strong. I feel
it's
they're going a bit too far.
It's fine to do this, you know, maybe in the early stages when we're still trying to figure a way of how these devices could, you know, complement us. But I guess we're so far deep in, you know, using it with the integration of smartphones while driving, using it for navigation or, you know, talking to someone via voice. We even do this, the voice message on WhatsApp and Telegram where you send that voice. And it's like a walkie-talkie kind of feature.
I mean, I don't do that while I'm driving. You might, but...
I do it sometimes, right? With my mom and stuff. Like, I'll be late. I'll, you know, be home dinner at this point in time.
I just make a phone call over the Bluetooth.
That?
Over the Bluetooth.
What's the phone call again?
It's like sending someone a voice message, but actually being able to hear their reply.
Instantly.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds like a new technology.
It is. It's absolutely fantastic. We're going to need it when we get our first Mars colonies.
But the thing is, I think we really need to sit down and look at, one is the car manufacturers. They need to sit down and, guys, like, are you actually helping? Because a lot of manufacturers have removed the knobs, which I don't like it. Please give me back the knobs and buttons. Don't give me a screen. Two is tech companies need to also work really well with automotive guys because not everyone has, you know, a high-end Audi or a BMW that has, you know, CarPlay and Android Auto built into it.
I know. Some people drive Mercedes.
Not everyone can afford to have all these kind
of
things.
And, yeah, you know.
And voice recognition is not there yet.
No.
So surely there needs to be a bit of a trade-off here.
I think there needs to be a bit of a trade-off. Then we need to make it easier for people to make calls or at least listen to text messages in the car so that they won't be looking at the actual screen, so that so we need more voice control. We need that to advance a little bit faster. Mm. But yes, we do need a kind of more structured and a more common sense approach, I think, to developing these technologies in tandem. Mm.
If you're driving right now, look at the cars on your left and right. Are those passengers on the phone? If they are, then there we go. You know, everyone does it, and it's against the law. But please, I guess, do it when you're at the side of the road, when you're stopped. Don't do it when you're driving.
That's the kind of absurdity of the French thing. You can be stopped at the side of the road,
the
or you can be parked outside
Why?
Your own house,
yeah.
and the engine is off, and you'll still be fined for making a phone call. That, I think, is a step too far.
Mm. Anyways, we'll be right back and we'll talk about Tesla or Elon Musk, actually, in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage, with King of the Crowd.
I have a King of the Crowd this week, yes. This has actually been hanging around since kind of November last year. It's been a big success on the crowdfunding platforms. It's called the Digi Film Camera, and it's by a Japanese manufacturer called Yashica, which has been around for a very long time. You don't really hear about their cameras so much anymore, but they were one of the kind of pioneers after the Second World War.
See their camera, you would know all
that
one.
Yeah, I mean, they make those kind of classic rangefinder-looking cameras. So they look
beautiful.
They look a lot like the current Leicas. But I think
the Pentax. The Fujifilms and stuff.
All of those kind of cameras. And this has actually raised nearly $1.4 million so far. Now, the idea is it's still quite a basic camera, and it's modeled on those rangefinders. The difference is, to keep it kind of cheap and flexible, you put in a digi-film module, mm-hmm. which contains the processing. So basically the camera doesn't have much inside it.
Yeah.
You drop in a module. So every time you want to have a certain set of effects, whether it's a blue filter or you want it to be
black
vivid
and white.
Or black and white, mm-hmm. you actually drop in the module and that does all the processing of the image. So you have this kind of classic retro-looking camera. You have this feel of having film. And you have to wind it on in the same way that you would a traditional
right.
film camera. Everything is still saved to an SD card, so you can load it back into your computer. But it's just a really kind of nice and fun way of looking at this kind of camera.
Do I have to refill or like buy new
Digifilm? No,
no.
Once you have that Digifilm canister, that just lasts, because it's an SD card inside. So you don't have to replenish it. You don't have to develop it.
Okay.
It's just the idea of having, because you would have different kinds of film that gave you a different look mm-hmm. for your shots. So you'd have something that had a very high light sensitivity, or you'd have something
yeah.
that gives you really nice grainy black and white photos, or or something that gives you very saturated colors. So each one of these modules does that. This is going to be out, I think it's estimated, in May. So we've got a little while to go.
Yeah.
I would suggest that you go for the package that contains all of the modules.
What are we looking at here?
I think it will set you back
$188.
Yeah, I think that one's closed now. So I think you have to go for the Indiegogo combo, which is $200, which is, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but for digital cameras,
it's actually pretty all right.
Yeah, that's pretty all right. Mm. And it comes with, I think it's 4 or 5 different modules that give you all of these different things, including the medium format, the 6x6, which is a nice format.
So I'm torn with this because I really want to buy this, but yet...
So do I, actually. It looks really nice.
It looks really nice. It looks like one of these really nice collector's edition as well, that you just want to keep it there. But I just don't see how much different this would be than an app that I already have.
You have much more of a tactile feel because there's a physical camera.
But then I have to
bring
another device.
Yes, you do, but...
It's just so hipster. It's like, it's such a hipster thing to do. Like, oh, what is that? It's a digital camera, but it uses this film kind of effect where you actually put in the microprocessor, which used to be film back then. And
you can look at it that way, or you can look at it as a way that it's increasingly more difficult to get film developed.
Yeah.
So if you want to have that kind of flexibility and you want something that has a very uniform look, which is something that I do. I mean, I've built all kinds of filters in my software and whatever, so it replicates the same look every time I edit an image.
Yeah.
So this is a way of doing that as you take the actual photo. But you still have that kind of wait till later effect, because as far as I know, you can't check the image on the camera while you're doing it.
No,
so you
screen,
have to wait
right?
till
yeah.
you have to wait till later. So it still has that film feeling to it. So
I need to do more research on this before I jump into it. I am torn. I really want to have it because I love the look of it. I love the feel of that analog camera.
Yeah, and just that winder mechanism, the arm that you pull out.
And you know that Digifilm, the cartridge itself that you put in, looks really pretty as well, because it looks like one of those really old films without
like the
film.
Old 110 film cartridge. Yeah, yeah.
I really enjoyed that. The other thing that I enjoyed recently is the Falcon Heavy, which was built by SpaceX, which is a company run by billionaire.
Falcon Heavy actually sounds like a real ale.
It was built by the billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk. This is the turbocharged version of the workhorse Falcon 9 rocket, which has been carrying cargo for many years now.
Can you really have a turbocharged version of a space rocket? I mean, it's already pretty turbocharged.
It's a turbocharged version of a turbocharged rocket,
How many engines does this one have? It has 27 or 28 engines on it. Yeah,
the largest in history.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, in terms of private spacecraft, even in government. This is the biggest
the biggest rocket that has been launched. Yeah.
So it's more of the it's like that BFR, right? So B stands for big, and then R stands for rocket, and F, you kind of know.
Stands for flaming.
Yeah, or Falcon or something, right? Yeah. So, but this is the first time that a rocket has, you know, a size like this with the payload that it has as well has been sent into outer space. What's interesting is actually what's in the payload as a test to show what it can carry. Elon Musk decided to slap on a red roadster, which was built by his another company, Tesla.
Well, it's his own personal Tesla.
It's his
Tesla.
Own personal yeah. Tesla as well, yeah. yeah. And he also actually strapped a mannequin in his car wearing one of his new SpaceX spacesuit. And he calls this the Spaceman, which is a tribute to David Bowie. And the other interesting thing is that he's got so many of these pop culture references. One of the live streaming videos showed the cockpit of the car already in outer space. And it had on its infotainment screen, it had the word "Don't Panic." Which was a reference to
Hitchhiker's Guide, of course. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
And the other interesting, one of these pop culture references is that he included a copy of Isaac Asimov's Foundation novels. And he put it into this thing called an ARCH, which is a 5D laser optical quartz storage device that is meant to be able to survive even the harshest conditions of space. And it's built by the ARC Mission Foundation. And the foundation's goal is to preserve the libraries of human knowledge for interstellar travel and to protect information in the event of calamity to Earth itself. So the goal that the group says was inspired by the Asimov's novel, which sees mankind working to write an Encyclopedia Galactica, which is to protect mankind in coming of dark ages.
I mean, I accept all of that, and all of that is fantastic and wonderful, but I still don't like the idea of sending a car into space because you're just throwing rubbish into space. I mean,
we've talked about this before.
We had the story a couple of weeks ago about the Chinese satellite with a laser that's supposed to get rid of debris that's stuck in orbit around the edge of Earth's atmosphere. And Elon Musk has just thrown a car out there. I mean, you can imagine, like, the rocket comes into Mars for the very first time with the first colonists aboard, and oh no, it's just collided with a bright red Tesla.
The beauty of that, though, well, in some degree, is that it's actually just a normal Tesla. It is no different than the Tesla that you could buy. It did not have a special coating of paint or different types of leather seats or nothing.
No, of course not. It's rubbish. They've just thrown it away. They're not going to spend money on it.
It's an actual Tesla that you could actually use. And it's actually not heading for Mars anymore.
No, it's overshot.
It's overshot itself. Yeah. So now it's heading into the orbit of Ceres, which is at 2.77 AU. Now, AU stands for Astronomical Unit, which is 1 AU is the distance of from Earth to Sun. Yeah, you know, try to brain that, I guess. Anyways, we are really running out of time, Matt. So what is Geek Tunes for today? And this is referencing to your first half of the show, which was your magic diet now.
That's right. I'm going with one of the ultimate workout songs. This is an oldie and a goldie. This is AC/DC with Back in Black.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.